Hello and welcome to the NRL podcast. I'm Zach Bailey, joined by our NRL.com expert, 2010 Premiership winner, former New South Wales 5'8" as well. Massive rap for Jamie Soward. What have you got to say about me?
Browse.
You saw a car during the week with the number plate Browse.
Yeah.
I'm devastated it's taken.
Look, our friendship's getting closer and closer, but don't take it for granted, mate. But look, what a weekend of footy. Indigenous round, so special to myself, being a proud Indigenous man, but everyone that took part in it, from the groundsman at Leichhardt that had that beautiful painting with the 40-metre line and all those, the numbers, and then exchanging gifts. The jerseys for me stood out.
Yep.
I love these kinds of rounds because, one, you get to keep the jersey, and two, it just means so much to so many people, and it's done right by the NRL. I think there's a real chance for there to be a Polynesian round as well going forward, because the Polynesian players represent so much of our game right now, and you can see what it meant to Isaac Luke over there in New Zealand after getting beat. He gave a little ceremony to Latrell Mitchell. So I love seeing all that kind of stuff. And the rounds are so special. I know that the jerseys come out and it costs families more to buy those jerseys.
Yeah.
But, I love those rounds.
Yeah, and the highlight for me, Thursday night at Leichhardt Oval, the Indigenous National Anthem into the English version.
It's happened all weekend.
But that was the first one. I wasn't expecting it. And
I
turned and looked around in the crowd and everyone was going, geez, how good was that?
I think
it was a real special touch. They nailed it this year. And Mal Meninga, interestingly, said over the weekend on radio that he hopes that if we do bring in a magic weekend like they have in the English Super League, why not do it for the Indigenous round?
You're right.
Stadium all weekend.
And there's opportunity for the NRL to grow that. And, you could potentially have, we've seen every team go for the Nines, you could potentially have a Polynesian round, over there at Mount Smart or in New Zealand for the weekend.
Idea.
So, look, every year there's ideas that go around. Our game's in a really good state at the moment in terms of, I guess the quality of games, teams up the ladder that haven't been up there for a while, and the Indigenous round really shows that we're in a good place.
Speaking of people that were up the top of a ladder and now sliding down, the tips from last weekend.
Yeah, how'd I go?
2 from 8. So you've gone from first to fourth. Your stay at the top of the ladder was quite short, 1 week.
Oh, I'm still inside the top four. Look, you don't win competitions.
Are you taking it tip by tip?
You
week
don't
by
win
week?
Competitions this time of the year, Zach. You lose competitions. So, that's a pretty tight ladder, the NRL.com one. I think from top to bottom is only six points.
Yep.
So, it's good fun, the tipping ladder. I won't tell you what the tipping score is at home between me and my wife, Maddie.
Well, I've already spoken to Maddie, and she's 8 clear of you.
Yeah.
10 rounds in.
You know what? Because what she does is she looks at my tips and just to get underneath my skin, she goes a couple different. And with the games, the way they've been going this year, she's right underneath my, really getting underneath.
Yeah, I've been really struggling because I tend to go for the favourites and sit on the safe side. And it comes
we analyse the game, so we go for what we know.
Yeah.
And so, in other words, Maddie knows nothing.
But
she's eight in front of me, my wife.
I'm down in seventh. I got 3 on the weekend. Margie McDonald, she's been covering rugby league for 40 years, and you can tell she's out on front on 44. She got 7 on the weekend. And Katie Brown is finally off the bottom of the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
She's on 38. She's still equal with the Pearl, Steve Renoff, who's down.
He was at the top a couple of weeks ago.
He was.
So how fun are tipping comps?
They're good. How fun is it when we get to read your power rankings on a Monday and see a new team at the top?
Yeah, look, it was tough this week. I watched St George South pretty closely, as everyone did, the game of the year, with South being in such good form and the Dragons being the benchmark. Dragons were a tad off in terms of being up for so long. They're probably not a scheduled loss, but you'd like to think that they tinkered with some of their interchanges. Zach Lomax, a talented young kid, had a little bit to do with him. He made his debut on the weekend, so congratulations to him. But the Dragons, a little bit directionless on the weekend, I thought. I think they'd be disappointed. Look, you understand you've been up for a long time, but the best teams, when you're in form, you don't mind. You love playing, so you look forward to that. And I just thought the game management at times was a bit dicey from the Dragons. And it's the first time this year, I know they put a lot into the Storm game, but it was the first time this year where their pack's been manhandled because South just came for them.
All right, let's move it on. It's been a massive week in the rugby league world. This podcast is going to have a special State of Origin theme, considering we're less than 2 weeks from the teams being named. And when we wake up this time in 3 weeks, we'll know who would have won Game 1 of the Origin Series. What we do know now is one man who won't be there, Cam Smith. Steve Turner, our colleague here, put it pretty well yesterday. He was out of a job when he found out. He walked back in the office and I spoke to him last night and he said that very rarely is there a time when just something leaves you speechless, like it just shocks you. He said it just took him completely by surprise. Are you as surprised as anyone else was with the timing of Cam Smith's retirement from Rip Footy?
Initially when I heard it, I went straight onto the NRL.com website to read the story about... I wanted to know why. I wasn't really concerned that he'd retired, being a New South Wales fan, but just to hear his press conference and talk about... The one thing I took away from it was when he spoke about... He went home after an Origin and he wasn't himself. He wasn't the dad that he wanted to be. He wasn't the husband he wanted to be. He was mentally drained. He was sitting on the couch or laying in bed. And for me, that resonated to the fact that what he's put his body through is amazing. But mentally, so much goes into an Origin campaign. And he didn't feel like he could be fully committed. And Mal Meninga spoke about it this morning. And last night, he saw signs of it through the World Cup tour and all that kind of stuff. So we will never ever see another Cameron Smith. He's changed the game for hookers, and so many hookers try to emulate him and recreate, you know, a version of him. I would say just be yourself, because he's just, you know, the best hooker we've ever seen. So New South Wales will be thankful he's not playing, but I'm lucky enough to say that I've played against Cameron. He's always been a gentleman on and off the field, carried himself in the highest standards, and that's why he's had so much success in his career.
He said in his press conference that he'd been thinking about it since those days, mm-hmm. especially after the World Cup and the toll that last year took on his body, and he's getting older. But 3 weeks out from an Origin series.
Perfect timing.
Why?
Makes them the underdogs.
So you think there's all a ploy? You think he may have known before the season started?
You know what? I'm happy to confess, and I've never confessed this to anyone, Zach.
Oh, wow.
The Queenslanders, I reckon, get together every year at the start of the year. They have a secret meeting that they all go to. No one knows where it is. They all turn up and they go and they discuss the year's agenda of how they're going to get underneath New South Wales' skin and how they're going to create a ploy to make them the underdogs every single year. And this year, the meeting was held and it was like, okay, I'm going to retire, boys. 3 weeks out, no one will give us a chance. They write us off. New South Wales, you know, some of these young boys will be picked, because last year after game one, there's no way Queensland could win the series. New South Wales had game two, they lost. Game three, they go up there and lose. So it's perfect time from Cameron Smith. Replacements, you know, Jake Friend, Andrew McCulloch puts his hand up. They'll be looking for a captain. More importantly, they'll be looking for a goal kicker. Yeah. That brings guys like Cherry Evans into the equation. I know Cam Munster can kick goals, so they've got some work. Kevy Walters and his coaching staff have got some work to make sure they've got a team there that they're comfortable with for round one.
All right, let's look at
game one.
Yeah, let's break it down. All right,
yeah.
So hookers, who would be the most likely number nine if they're fit to replace Cam Smith? Who's the best suit?
I think they go with Andrew McCulloch. You know, if it was two seasons ago, Jake Friend would be there. But Andrew McCulloch, for me, has gone past Jake Friend.
It's crazy, because for so long, like, Jake Friend's waited so long to get that opportunity, and he was always earmarked as the next player to come in. A poor start, or a poor end to probably back end of last year, and a poor start to this year.
Yeah.
Takes him out, well, not out of the equation, but puts him...
McCulloch's similar to Smith, though. He can kick from dummy half. He knows when to kick. He's a solid defender. Can get out of dummy half when he needs to, and that's important. The other option that I've heard tossed around is Ben Hunt in at nine. Now, he's played nine for Brisbane. You bring up another guy that can kick from dummy half. Whether you take a guy who's been playing so good at halfback and throw him into that, I'm sure won't worry Ben Hunt. He'd love to be in the side anyway and probably will be, but that's a name being tossed around. So I think it's out of those two.
Does that weaken their halves, though?
No. So,
You move Dylan Walker from centres to 5'8 with Manly and it weakens two positions.
Look, I reckon they go Morgan, Munster, Smith. Slater at the back. So Munster will be six. Morgan at halfback, Ben Hunt at hooker, and then you've just got three guys.
So who becomes your bench player then? You're 14. Is that when we see a Kalyn Ponga blooded?
This kid's special, mate. This kid's so special. Yeah. He could come on and play six if you needed months to go to centres. He could play fullback. Maybe Billy Slater comes in and helps with the halves role, like what they're doing in Melbourne, where Slater and Smith control that middle third and distribute to the edges. This kid's like, we lose, it's so cool as a fan, because, and I speak purely as a fan, but you lose Cameron Smith in the biggest arena, you know, apart from playing for your country, the biggest arena that we see, and you get to see the emergence of this kid, Kalen Ponga. Like, he's doing things that people only dream of. Like, Benji Marshall's special, and he's got a long way to go, Kalen Ponga, and a lot to prove to be in that status, but what we're seeing now is just, he's tough, he defends, he put his body on, he put a shot on last week against Penrith, he dropped the ball, bad pass, got back on side, scrambled, I think it was Peachy or someone, Dallin Martinez-Lesniak actually, yep. Ran the ball, and he just lowered his head, went in as hard as he could, got the ball back for his side, and plays the game with such a smile, and unfortunately, he's a Queenslander, so... He could be an option at 14.
Is that the more risky option? So when you look at it from, you go, okay, a Smith out of
that
the
to me scares the, you know what.
It does, yeah. But like, if you're Kevin Walters, are you thinking Smith out, McCulloch in doesn't change too much, right? I'm not saying that McCulloch is a Smith,
yeah.
But one position rather than going, hang on a minute, we can move Hunt to hooker and then we bring Morgan in and then we've got to deal with another issue.
Yeah, look, I don't know, to be honest. Yeah. I know I have to give a detailed opinion for the podcast, but I don't really care. It's time for New South Wales. I want to get into the New South Wales side. I want them to win, because we've been watching Queensland win for so long. And I'm sure Steve Renoff would love Queensland to keep winning. But, you know, it's if it's not our time now, then it's never going to be our time. But they've got some headache problems. Their forwards are probably a bit more of a question mark. You know, guys like Joey Arrow have been injured. Wallace has been injured the last couple of weeks. So they've got some questions themselves. And who do they leave out of the back line? So many guys in form there, and they're going to have to make some decisions.
All right, a couple more questions relating to Smith before you're going to exclusively reveal your New South Wales side that you want picked for game one. Who's a bigger loss, Smith, Cronk, Thurston? Between them all, 101 origins. That's staggering.
Cameron Smith. You know, really,
by a long way?
No, I think that those guys together are unstoppable, which they've shown. But just Cameron Smith's game management in and around, knowing when to distribute the ball, who needs it at what time, can kick on the front foot and can take a game away from you off the back of one set. Those other guys can take similar, but Smith to me touches the ball more than anyone else. So. Just knows what to do at those big times.
E.g. game 3 last year when everyone said too old, too slow, too far gone, and he said, all right, I'm still
that's
the best.
That's why I don't say anything.
So no chance Jonathan Thurston will come out of retirement?
I hope he does. Well, I love watching the greats play. I was at game 3 last year where Thurston had the tribute. He didn't play, but sitting in that crowd, special time for me at Suncorp, just watching an Origin game, but... Just watching what Thurston did, you know, I'd love to see him come back.
Yeah, even as a Blues supporter, or you hear people speak about it, it feels like there's a bit of an empty feeling at the moment, because you won't see those three in an Origin jersey again. I remember after the grand final, like, no Cronk, no Slater, no Smith playing alongside at club level. We won't see it now in any form without Smith in that equation as well. And what about captain? Is Greg Inglis the obvious choice?
Yes, Greg Inglis will be captain. The only, I guess, thing that they might be thinking of is, do they go with a guy like New South Wales did in Boyd Cordner? You know, a guy a little bit younger who's going to be there for the next 4 or 5 years, but there's no one putting their hand up for that, so GI will be captain.
And the no goal kicking you mentioned, does that help Val Holmes in that battle for the wing, where there's Corey Oates, Darius Boyd and him all going for that wing spot?
Yeah, Val Holmes will be there. He did enough last week to show that he's back to his form. And plus, when you score 11 tries in 2 games for Australia on the wing and you're a Queenslander, there's a fair chance you'll be there.
All right, drum roll please. Jamie Soward, it's time to reveal your New South Wales Origin team for game one of this year's series. I want to do it in sections if I can.
Okay.
So, and then we can discuss it. So you're back five for the New South Wales Blues this year.
Back five. Now, I will disclose at the start of this, I had a team missing a few players in terms of I had one wing missing. So I've talked to a few people about the guys that are in and around that mix, and then sort of taking a name from there. So for me, James Tedesco will be fullback.
Yep.
Nick Kotrick will be on one wing, from what I'm hearing. I had guys like Dugan, Ferguson, in and around that wing position. Kotrick, for me, fits that Mansour mould, heavy worker, can get up in the air. On the other wing, I've got the Fox. Speed, you cannot coach speed. And for me, for such a little guy, he just gets through work like, you know, like a 120-kilo winger. Like, he's so tough. So I think Brad Fittler said he was going to reward team selection on form, and he goes with Adokar. Latrell Mitchell, I've wanted him there all along. He'll be at one centre. Just his defence is probably a little bit questionable at times when he ball watches, but he's matured playing alongside guys like Cronk and Keary, and you can see that they've gotten the best out of him this year, and he looks fit. Like, that's funny to say, but he was just carrying maybe 1 or 2 kilos last year, just growing into his body. Not that he was eating bad, but he was just growing into his body, and right now he looks menacing. And I think I've always been a believer that you want to pick players that the other team doesn't want to play.
Yeah.
And if I'm marking up against Latrell Mitchell, I'm thinking, how do I stop this bloke? Yeah, I'm going to get my chance if I'm Will Chambers, but you got the best defensive centre in the world in Will Chambers, you got to put one of the best attackers, and that's Latrell Mitchell. The other centre, I was a bit torn. Before Dugan got injured, I had Dugan because I think he's earned his spot. He was good last year in Origin in a beaten side in the series. Tossed up Ewan Aitken for me. He's going to be the other centre.
Yep.
So he will be in that side, I think. His form, he's had a couple of down weeks in terms of performances this year, but speed, strength, so I think he'll be there. He'll pair with Kotrick. Mitchell will pair with Fox.
All right, now, of that, there's only one remaining player from last year's back five. That's the fullback in James Tedesco. In your side, of course, these players could get injured over the next 2 weeks,
yeah,
and we don't all fall horribly out of form. Let's hope not. So no Brett Morris, no Josh Dugan because of injury, as you said. Jared Hayne, the other centre from last year, not there. Blake Ferguson. So let's start at the back. James Tedesco, why did he win the race in your eyes ahead of Tom Trbojevic?
Well, I think that had to do with who my hooker's going to be. James Tedesco was there last year. You've already got 4 debutants there. I think your fullback has to be someone that's played there before. Tedesco's performance on the weekend has probably helped him. He's a little bit safer. And look, Tommy Turbo will be there eventually. I'm not a big believer in picking guys out of position on the wing. So for me, he's just been a little bit quiet. Had a great game on the weekend, but still had a couple of errors early. So
yeah, and not consistent enough.
And not consistent. When I played Origin, and it's probably a little bit different now, but my best year was 09, didn't get picked. Won a comp 2010, still didn't get picked. And they were my 2 best years. By the time 2011 had come, not my best form, but certainly my peak of my form was already probably gone.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought you strike while the iron's hot, and 2009 was my best personal season. And then 2010, I sort of backed that up. So, you know, these guys need to perform. Adokar's performed for a year and a half now. Aitken was solid last year, injured a little bit, but he's performed. Latrell Mitchell's performed. James Tedesco's consistently performed. I think he's slowly getting into that system of the Roosters. We want to see more, but Nick Kotrick, yeah, has been pretty solid since he's come into first grade.
All right, so Brett Morris had retired from rep footy. You got Blake Ferguson, who was in form earlier, but a little bit patchy. All the talk is that Brad Fittler wants to out with the old, in with the new. Is that part of the reason behind why Fergie's not there, and also the fact that you do have to look forward after everything that's gone wrong?
Yeah, I think the last year probably hurt hurt those guys. Freddie's all for having a good time, but, you know, the out with the old, in with the new is something that needs to happen. That's why he's gone with guys that are in form. No one can say that these guys aren't in form. You could say that James Tedesco is probably not what he was at the Tigers, but he's at a new team. He's got one of the greatest halfbacks of all time. He's getting used to playing with a new 5'8". So it's tough.
He's proven at Origin level. He's never let the Blues down at that.
He hasn't, point. And he's safe under the high ball. He gets through plenty of metres, and his combination with you know, the forwards is going to be crucial for that second phase.
A bit of chalk and cheese with your wingers, though. We look at Josh Adokar, the skinny whippet on the wing. He kills it. We saw that try on Anzac Day against the Warriors. He does it week on week, a hat-trick against the Dragons. Lovable bloke, always laughing, always smiling. Nothing's ever too big for him. You've got Nick Kotrick, who's quietly spoken, pretty reserved kind of kid, really solid, almost like that Josh Mansour style on the wing. Mm. How important or how underrated is that quality? We know Josh Adokar can finish and so can Nick Kotrick, but those first, you know, scoots out of dummy half and the hit-ups, is that part of the reason why?
Of course. I can see Tedesco catching the ball on the 10 metres, getting back to about the 30. Then you have Kotrick steaming in. Then off the back of that, Adokar goes from dummy half. Well, that, for me, gets your set started whenever you like. So, and both those wingers are good defensively. Kotrick's still got some stuff to learn, of course, but I think if Mansour was fit, he would have been probably one of the first guys picked because he gets up 150, 160 metres a game just because he's so strong. So, Nick Kotrick, like I said, still learning his trade down there in Canberra, but he's got no better, you know, centre inside him than Jared Croker, so a professional as well. So, yeah, those two guys get through the hard yards. What I like about Adokar is for a guy that's so skinny and lightweight, he just plays his footy 100 mile an hour. Mm. He knows he's fast. And every time there's a half break, he's there. So you can see someone like Maloney going through from the other side of the ruck and he just will come from nowhere and it's a try. If he gets in the clear, it's a try. And you can't substitute for speed.
We may have just revealed yet one of your halves. We'll leave that for a second. Latrell Mitchell you mentioned. I remember last year he was in pretty poor form and Trent Robinson said, look, I want you to go home.
Yeah.
You're a young bloke. He went home, spent some time with his family in Taree. Jeez, that's turned into being an absolute master.
Well, what happens is that young blokes, I got taught this by a couple of my coaches. The young blokes come into grade, and I went through it myself, but I had, out of my first 26 games, I think 14 or 15 were off the bench for a half. Like, that's, you know, hard to get used to and hard to come into. So, yeah, if these guys now, they all start, and there's going to be a little dip. It's very rare we don't see a little dip in form. You know, they're just fatigued. They're, instead of getting ready for 20s games and whatever, and then that's it, it's a whole week of preparation. You play, you recover. It's a whole week of preparation, and it takes a lot of mental fortitude and, you know, being able to stay up that long. So we've seen that last year from Latrell. He looked tired, and it was great from Trent Robinson to recognise that. He went away since he's come back. Like,
exciting.
He's exciting. He doesn't get the ball enough, the Roosters, so that'll be something that Freddie has to get, make sure that, you know, he goes in looking for work. I'd like to see him go in looking for the ball a little bit more, but yeah, he looks really fit this year. He looks like he's enjoying his footy and he can goal kick as well.
And are you and Aiken there in form, in an in form team?
Yeah.
We saw him, I suppose a lot of people are reading into one play where he stood up Greg Inglis and a lot of people thought, well, hopefully he can do that at origin level, but he's consistent and no injuries so far this year. He's been crippled in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Solid defensively and a bit of speed and footwork as well.
You're exactly right, and he's got speed. You know, this back line has all got speed. Teddy's got speed, Kotrick's fast, Latrell Mitchell glides over the turf, the Fox, obviously, and Aitken. So there's a lot of speed in those outside backs. So if defensively one of them makes a mistake, you can see him scrambling, you know, to the corner, racing to the corner post, we say. You know, if they come up and in, if the Fox comes up and in, you can see Latrell Mitchell sweeping around the back to cover that. Teddy coming across, which he did in Origin 3 to save a couple of tries.
It's exciting. That back line, if that is the back line, plenty of points there. Are you worried at all about defence?
No, I'm not. I don't think you can go into a Origin series worrying about defence.
You know Queensland are going to score points, so it's a matter of you need... There's game breakers there.
You want to defend, but you know that it's a different game. It's off 7 metres. It's not block play, block play. It's just one of those moments where they're just waiting 70 minutes and the score might be 6-4 and then all of a sudden, Adokar from dummy half can run through, bust it open. I think the X factor outweighs, you know, one or two defensive lapses.
All right, let's get to the halves. Who's going to be cutting the throwing the 3 metre or 30 metre cutout for Adokar or the chip over the top for James Tedesco?
I had James Maloney as my halfback. I don't agree with Cleary before game one. I think he'd need a bit more prep, but from what I'm hearing, if he plays good the 2 weeks, he may be the half. So I've split that. I can't decide. And Luke Keary will be the 5'8".
Okay.
I had Blake Green all year long, but I think that performance last week of Keary running the ball, taking short sides. He's cleaned up a lot of his game in terms of errors that he had early on in the year. And he's a ball runner, so that really suits, you know, those guys. And he can kick at a pinch too.
Okay, so a lot of the talk had been around would potentially be Maloney and Cleary, but you're saying that you wouldn't go with that?
No.
So would you say that, so say if Cleary comes through the next couple of weeks unscathed,
look, if you have both of them, I just don't know. Like, you've got to, they're in a certain system out at Penrith and they know what they like, whereas a lot of these guys are playing obviously different systems. So, look, you could potentially go with both of them and they do a job. But I just think that run from Keary last week, down a short side, taking on the Warriors tied forwards, I picture that in Origin, you know, 70th minute, much like Thurston used to do to us. He's a good defender, Keary. Maloney's the best game manager at the moment in the game. We saw what he did last week with the Knights. The thing with Cleary is we don't know how he's going to go the next 2 weeks. I mean, if he comes out the next 2 weeks and sets up five tries and shows enough, he'll be there. Whether they go... That's why I was torn on that. That's why I couldn't split them.
So the debate, though, is if Cleary plays well over the next 5 weeks...
He's in for game two.
So that means, though, that your Maloney or Keary are just filling a spot and you don't want one of those players surely
going in. He's in, Maloney's out.
Wow.
So that's Keary.
That's
Keary, Cleary.
What if they win game one with Keary and Maloney in the halves? You don't change it.
I'm not a fortune teller, mate.
Well, I'm putting you on the spot here and you are a fortune teller right now. You know what I mean? You can see there, we've seen players. You just don't,
I don't know.
Someone,
look,
you don't want someone just brought in. You don't want someone just there to fill a hole for
you. Well, it's easier to drop Maloney and go with, and bite the bullet. I mean, or you go for the series win and then you're being Cleary in for game three. Like, it's going to be up to what Brad... I mean, if he doesn't see... If they go out and win game one, but James Maloney is okay and not great, then what are you... You're not losing much. You've got a guy in Cleary who's going to be fully fit by then. He can kick goals just as good. Game manager's just as good. So it's a like for like, really. But you have just, he just hasn't played 10 Origins.
Yeah, you know what Maloney's going to give you at that level. And you'd rather not burn someone. We've seen, like we've spoken about your Jared Mullins and whatever. So
you'd rather not burn Keary.
Yeah, Keary,
and you just say, well, okay, if game two doesn't work out, well, then it's up to Brad Fielder. But I think his whole out with the old, in with the new is part of that in the halves.
And Nathan Cleary's not going anywhere.
No, he's not. He'll be the halfback for the next 10 years.
All right. And now the Keary option, I like it. Again, very very attacking focused. And I like it. For a small bloke, though, he has a real dig in defence as well. His combination with Teddy Tedesco at fullback and his combination with Latrell, did that come into your thinking?
Yes, certainly. I had Blake Green for most of the year because I thought that two kickers is important. I didn't want to see a makeshift 5'8 in there. Wade Graham was an option. He can kick a little bit. But I just think Keary plays above his weight, defends well, and again, is fast. James Maloney's fast. This team is built for speed and you can't substitute speed.
All right, Maloney, 73 missed tackles in the NRL, the most of any player.
It's a concern. I know Brad Fittler would be concerned with that. That's what I mean. He would need to, if Nathan Cleary comes out and misses no tackles the next 2 weeks and plays, you know, the house down, it'll be Cleary and Keary.
Well,
game one.
What will it be like rocking up to training the next week when one of them gets left out?
I'm sure James won two competitions, played for Australia. Done it all.
Pretty lovable, joking bloke. He'd be like, done.
Yeah, I think he'd be happy.
All right, let's move on to the engine room for New South Wales. Up front, I want your props, hooker and back rowers.
Regan Campbell-Gillard will be in the front row with Damien Cook at hooker. And substitute to no late Andrew Fifita backflip.
Which, if you were Brad Fittler, you'd be on the phone.
If Fifita does, he's in the starting side with RCG.
Yep.
If he doesn't, Paul Vaughan will be in the front row.
Okay.
Your back row will be Boyd Cordner, captain.
Yep.
Tyson Frizzell.
Yep.
And Jake Trbojevic.
Turbo Senior. Well, not really Turbo Senior. He's the more the gruntier of the Turbo brothers. Jake.
Just Jake.
Just Jake.
That's my engine room.
All right, so when you look at those guys, again, looking back at last year, Boyd Cordner and Tyson Frizzell, your only survivors in the New South Wales pack.
Jake played last year.
Off the bench. say if he still survives.
Survivor.
True. Yeah, look, Regan Campbell-Gillard's form's undeniable. He's been turned into a real leader out there at Penrith. He is the spearhead for that side. Really has great defence, can get up off his line, can create some second phase, playing bigger minutes more than ever. So I like what I've been seeing from him. And I think that the way he plays the game, he's after what we saw from him in the Australian team, he's built for Origin.
Paul Vaughan, started the year on fire. Has he dropped off a little bit in recent weeks?
They've still been winning. He's still been doing his job. He runs hard, gets through big minutes, can play in the middle of the ruck for long periods of time. When it gets fast, he's fast feet as well. So I think that his stockiness, his form's been building over the last year and a half. So you've got to reward form. There's no one, apart from Regan Campbell-Gillard, who I think is the best front row in the game with Fifita, there's no one else really putting their hand up above Paul Vaughan.
And do you feel as if he's a player that would lift the occasion? He's a lot of fire in the belly.
He's made for it. Yeah. Like you pair him and Regan Campbell-Gillard, that just looks formidable.
Yeah, and both big, fit kind of blokes. Yep. In the middle there, a guy probably half their size, a pint-sized little hooker in Damien Cook.
Yeah, last week's performance sealed the deal for me. You know, he's, again, fast. All these guys have got one thing in common. They're all fast. They're all quick leg speed. So he can kick from dummy half. He gets out. He can play 80 minutes. He probably only have to play 60, going off what my bench will be. But for me, Damien Cook is an elite hooker at the moment. He's still learning his trait, but he can get an offload, take off, and then link up with Addo Carr, and all of a sudden it's a try. So there's a bit of a theme to my team.
Yes, there is. How important is it, though, the likes of Regan Campbell-Gillard and Paul Vaughan lay that platform? Because we've seen when South Sydney dominate, Damien Cook can do his best work. If that forward pack gets dominated, do you eliminate Damien Cook out of the game?
Well, it'll be
his running game.
No, you don't, because he can still get an offload. Like I said, you can still have some second phase. That's what makes Damien Cook's speed so dangerous, is because he can go from dummy half, but all of a sudden, the 75th minute, if they're retreating back Queensland, he can get an offload and take off, and he's done that this year. And again, he's the form hooker of the competition.
All right, let's look at the back row. Boyd Cordner, Tyson Frizzell, and Jake Trbojevic at lock, promoted from the bench. Boyd Cordner is the captain, but he's been under a fair bit of pressure. Again, was he just a certainty due to his form, what we know he's brought to the team and the arena in the past, and the fact he's their skipper?
Certainly, you've got to have some sort of loyalty for guys that can perform in that arena. And whilst his form's been down a little bit this year for the Roosters at times, you can see now he's starting to get back that energy, you know, and quick leg speed on the ruck, you know, punches a hole on the edge, so he's going to be good defensively. For me, Boyd Cordner had to be there and had to be your captain.
Tyson Frizzell, speaking of people busting holes, we saw what he could do in a losing side last week, but he's fast on his feet. The strapping, he's been bleeding out of a different cut every week. Made for Origin?
Oh, plays the game, you know, tougher than most people. If not the tough, one of the toughest in the game, picked up a ball and went 80 last week. So again, fast, can come back on an angle, link up with Tedesco back through the middle when forwards get tired. Tyson Frizzell will definitely be there.
Okay, and obviously Jake Trbojevic there.
Just his ball playing variety in and around the middle, Zach. So I can just see, you know, Tedesco coming in, popping in, you know, inside ball. We saw it last year, split the Queenslanders open early on in game two. I think his variety in and around the ruck, maybe linking to Maloney or Keary on the edges is vital. And you've got to have a ball playing guy in there somewhere. And plus, he gets through a load of work and could easily play 80 minutes. He can also step up to the front row if need be, if come on with my bench.
All right, I haven't looked at your bench yet, but the starting front row from last year, obviously no Fifita there, but Aaron Woods. Him and Josh Jackson, two now Bulldogs left out of that squad, are they not there due to their form at club level? Because Josh Jackson is a former player of the series for the Bulls. We know, again, he's a player that stiffens up that edge, will never let you down defensively. But again, your theme here is that you're going for a real attacking side.
Yeah.
Is that
that's right. It's a real attacking. Yeah, your front rowers lay a platform off the back of that. You've got guys that can attack. And for me, Josh Jackson's been a fantastic servant player of the series, as you mentioned, but he's just a workhorse. He could definitely play 13 in the middle, but I think you're going with the wrong tactics if you're looking for guys that are just going to tackle to death and not create anything with the ball. So I just believe that this team, what I've got here, is in a bit better form than those two guys you mentioned.
All right, so when those guys in the engine room get tired, who are the Blues going to send on and try and run amok around the Queensland?
X factor for the competition, for the series, will be Tyrone Peachy. Can play anywhere in the team, and I mean anywhere. This kid is just a straight-up footballer. This week he's going to play in the centres. He's been playing in the 5-8. You could easily put him in at lock if the game's on the line and you need some foot speed around the ruck. Again, he's fast. So he's going to be able to create some damage with footwork, and I just love the way he plays his footy, Tyrone Peachy.
All right, who's one of the other bench?
David Clemmer. He survives.
A survivor.
He survives. I think he's a bench player for Origin. Big, strong, can come on again, create some second phase in around the ruck. He could pair really nicely with Damien Cook. Towards the back end of halves, so I've got David Clemmer on the bench.
And there are two more spots in your New South Wales side for game one.
Jack DeBellin, yeah, a hitter underneath the ball, gets through a lot of work in and around the middle, can potentially play up front or go on and ball play. His ball playing's improved immensely this year. The other two I was tossed up. Now, Steve Turner threw me into one in Ash Crichton.
Angus Crichton,
or Trent Merrin. Now, Trent Merrin's been there before and been out of the fold for a little while, but his performances this year, creating second phase. Now, you can go with a Crichton on the edge who can punch through the middle and then have one of those guys move, you know, up front potentially. Merrin can come on and create some second phase, stiffen up a middle as well, and play 13 if need be. So, there's two positions I've split on the halfback, obviously pending fitness of Nathan Cleary, and the last bench spot. There's no one who, I mean, those three guys I have to have there. The other one, you know, is probably Tarek Sims has put his hand up, but it'll just have to come down to who Brad Fittler sees.
Okay, so no Jack Bird, no Wade Graham from the bench last year.
I didn't pick Wade Graham, disclosure, because he's injured.
Yep.
I don't think that they'll pick him off the back of...
Two hamstrings,
and he'll need more than one run.
Okay, just on Crichton and Merrin, if I was head of selectors, or if I'm Brandy Alexander, if you're Brad Fittler, tell me the one reason why I have to pick Angus Crichton.
His performance on the weekend, he's dangerous on that right edge. Defensively, he's good. He saved a try on the weekend as well. Competes for the full 80 minutes. We haven't seen him let anyone down. He's good with his hands. So I like what I've seen from Angus Crichton more this year than I did last year, and he was great last year.
Yeah. I thought he was slow to start the season, but he's...
Oh, don't forget he's changing clubs, so that would have weighed on him. You know.
And he's also amputated half a finger. Now, do we underestimate that?
Yeah, well, I don't know what it's like. Yeah. I mean,
palming and catching ball might not be a lot, but who knows? It's a big thing, maybe psychologically even.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot was made about it too. I mean, we were, you know, asking what, how, why, when did you do it? So... Yeah, it's taken him a little while, but again, in the biggest games this year, he's been one of their best performers at South.
Okay, so Trent Merrin, again, why would you pick him?
Yeah, look, I've watched him closely, Mez, and for the first time in 3 years, this is the fittest he's been. He's not carrying that little bit around the stomach. He's actually moved back up to the front row, so he's not having to ball play as much. So he's creating some nice second phase for the Panthers, and I think they use that as a real strength out there. They can have guys, before Edwards got hurt, he was sniffing around the middle of the ruck and they were creating. Then all of a sudden you get it straight out to Wang and Blake and then you're down 60 metres down the field and they're scoring a try. So, and he's good defensively as well. I could see him pairing up with RCG. You've got to look for little combinations. Throughout my whole team, there's little combinations in and around the whole team.
And Tyrone Peachy.
Again.
Brad Fittler, we know, is a massive fan of Tyrone Peachy. And is it his value to fill in just about anywhere on the field that makes him so valuable?
Anywhere. Cook will empty the tank maybe around the 60, 65-minute mark, maybe even a little bit less. And Peachy can come on and play the middle. Good defensively. Has played hooker for City before for Brad Fittler. So he's an Origin player. He's the most talented, gifted footballer I've ever played with.
Tyrone Peachy. That's a huge rap.
Huge. I'm talking naturally gifted. The things he does at training, you know, all of a sudden he's cannonball over here, then bounces back around and somehow has ran around four people, come through and scored. And you're like, How the hell did that happen? Yeah. So, yeah, he's the most gifted, natural talent of football I've ever played with.
You gave us the reasons why David Clemmer was there, but Jack DeBellin went from 20th man to 19th man to 18th man last year, and now he's in year 17.
He certainly is, and his form has built towards that. That's what I mean. He's one of these guys that's been in form for 2 years now, been on New South Wales radar, carries the ball well. He's ball playing this year. He's got a really nice pass out the back. That's about 10 metres, which is hard to do when you're bracing yourself for contact, and also sometimes you've got to dummy and put your head down. I think he's got a nice mix of that at the moment.
All right, so your survivors from last year, fullback James Tedesco, James Maloney if he gets picked in the halves, Boyd Cordner, captain in the back row, Tyson Frizzell alongside him, and on your bench, David Clemmer, Jake Trbojevic, you've promoted from the bench to the starting side, so 6 of 17, 11 changes.
Yep.
Big change. Can you make too many changes going
into
the Origin
Arena? No, we lost the series last year. We lost
the ones all before that, apart from 2014.
And the ones before that. So, well, I don't know what we'd be waiting for. If we picked 15 out of the 17 guys from last year, then we already know what we got from those guys. It's time to mix it up. We need to win a series.
Okay, so if you were Queensland, you'd be pretty worried with that side, I'm guessing? Given the attacking ability.
You'll have to tweet Steve Renoff and get him to answer on his podcast.
We'll get the Pearl to get back to us. And I also want all our listeners to get back to us as well.
Because I'm going
to
post this.
I don't know. I can't remember the last time, given the retirements of Cronk, Thurston and now Smith, and also the new coach for the Blues and changing of the guard that we're expecting. I don't know if I've ever been this excited or haven't been excited for the last probably 12 years for an Origin series. Given so much change and so much talk about both teams?
New South Wales do it every year. It annoys me. We talk about our Origin team before Christmas. That's why I didn't want to pick mine until real late. If I had it right and I didn't get the kick up the to get my team out this week, I would have held it back another week. But I think that side I'm pretty happy with. I'll be tweeting it out on my Twitter handle, SouthOurOfficial6. So don't forget to leave your recommendations, whether you hate it, love it, whatever. But I'm pretty happy with that side.
All right, I like it as well. As I said, let us know your thoughts. We'll be tweeting it out. Game 1, MCG, June 6. Mm. You can get your tickets, nrl.com/tickets. And Peking Duck are performing as well, which is one of Sowie's favourite bands. So make sure you get around. Get to nrl.com tickets and buy your tickets for game one. A couple of other things this week we'll just race through quickly. The Titans recruitment drive or retention drive as well. Jared Wallace re-signs for 3-year extension. He's there for the next 4 years. Shannon Boyd, big news, 4-year deal.
Yeah, look.
Big money. I believe it's upwards of about 800 grand a year.
Oh, congratulations to Shannon Boyd. He's done fantastic there. Look, I question whether that was the right recruitment move for the Titans. I think they needed some outside backs. They probably could have got two outside backs for that. So, but good luck to him. He's going to be an addition up there. Him and Jared Wallace, going forward, are going to be the front rowers.
Yeah, a good pack with the emergence of Jai Arrow this year. We know.
But they haven't got they get Peachy next year, so that's a good buy. He'll probably play six, but. Yeah, the centres aren't in any great form.
You've been saying Israel Folau for the last couple of weeks. Potentially he could be there if he leaves the 15-man code. All right, question time. Stephen W.T. Gallagher is in every week. He said if you had to pick a form 13, who would it consist of? You've just named your Origin side, but I'm going to flip it around a little bit. Who's the best number 13 in the game right now?
The best number 13?
Who's the best lock forward?
I'd probably say Sam Burgess.
Sam Burgess.
Yep.
Sweet. Easy done.
Sam Burgess.
Is it a knockout?
Knockout.
Knockout. All right. Here we've got Cal Punter. When will there be a Perth-based team or more games in Perth? Again, I will rephrase it. So do you think we need to take more games to Perth? Mm-hmm. And do you think that's a place that we can expand next?
Well, expansion's on everyone's lips every year. I don't know whether it will happen in the near future, but it's certainly a market over there. They had 16,000 to the World Series Rugby, which the Western Force are in, not even the Super Rugby, so more than the Super Rugby franchises. It's an important market over there because it is such a beautiful place to visit. They need to take more games everywhere, but unfortunately, you can't you've got members over here that pay a lot of money and support the team throughout thick and thin to turn up every week, and you take a game over there, not everyone can afford to fly over there. So I'm sure they'll get a test match or an Origin soon. We seem to be taking those games everywhere.
Origin 2 next year in Perth, 2019.
Yeah.
Book your tickets, book your flights, get over there. Another one here. This is more for the, I guess, for the NRL fantasy podcast that we do here, but are you trading Cam Murray given Sam Burgess is back and he's playing on the wing? That's from Robbie R12 Wilson.
Yes, I spoke to CK, who's
Chris
our...
Kennedy, who's our guru.
Resident guru. Fantasy guru. Trade him. Sam Burgess is a monster, plays 80 minutes. I've got him in my side.
All right, tip time. Let's race through them. Round 11, the Panthers against the Tigers. Thursday night footy at the foot of the mountains.
I was torn about this one because last week thought the Tigers bounced back after three straight losses. Nathan Cleary may take a couple of weeks to work in, but I'm going to go the Tigers.
The Tigers. Oh, I've gone the Penrith Panthers. The Eels against the Warriors. The return of the King. Not King Gutho, but Cam King, our boy, he's back.
Welcome back. I watched him play last week in the ISP. He was pretty good last week. Look, didn't set the house on fire, but in terms of his own standards, spoke to him after the game. He's happy to be back. So in saying that, I'm going to take the Warriors. They've really turned a corner mentally this year. They've suffered a couple of big defeats, but I reckon that this is a different side that we've seen. And if they've got any aspirations of playing September footy, they need to be able to win in Sydney.
Well, I've gone the Eels. No Sean Johnson there. I think they're going to struggle again. The Broncos and the Roosters.
Roosters.
Big game Friday night.
Roosters. Last week, dynamic against the Broncos, who really struggled. And they looked pretty ordinary last week. They looked off the pace. They looked like they just wanted to rock up, get the 2 points and go. And you can't do that in the competition. So I'm going to take the Roosters.
Okay, what about the Titans and the Knights? A tough one, I think.
Tough one, but you can't... I don't know what the Knights are on the road. I mean, they did beat the Tigers in Tamworth, but twice they've been... You know, once to Melbourne conceded 40 points, once to Sydney conceded 40 points, so... and they'll be devastated with how they played last week. The last 2 weeks, they potentially could have won one of those games. So I'm going to take the Titans.
Well, I was going to go the Titans, but I think Kevin Proctor could be a big out.
Mm.
And I just think there's a fair bit of chat around them at the moment. The Knights have to win this if they are going to make the eight. Simple as that. The Cowboys and the Rabbitohs.
Rabbitohs for me, I can't... I've drawn a line through the Cowboys. I don't think they can make the eight. So... I can't say that off the back of and then tip them this week.
Yep.
So that last week, I needed to see more than what I did if I was going to tip them.
Right, I agree with you there. The Storm without Cam Smith up against the Seagulls.
Yeah, Melbourne Storm for me. This kid they've got coming in, Brandon Smith, is amazing. He's just a carbon copy of what Melbourne is. Just a workaholic, gets in the middle, puts his head down, tiny frame, but just plays above his weight. And Cam Munster's in form.
Yeah, a lot of comparisons to Isaac Luke as well.
Brent. Yeah.
I don't want to compare him, but he even looks the same.
Yep, looks exactly the same.
Same kind of build when he came in. I've gone the Storm as well. The Dragons and the Raiders?
Dragons, they bounced back this week. They'd be disappointed with some of their big plays last week, so I think they bounced back.
And Sharks, Bulldogs?
It tossed and turned because this one, you could see the Bulldogs dragging him down and winning 16-12. But I just think the former Fifita, ahead of Origin, he's and carrying the C next to his name, the Sharks for me.
All right, we've gone a few different at the start of the round, but towards the end, we're back on track. A couple of things I just want to get out there. Remember the free inside pass on the NRL account. The keyword there being it's free and it gets you exclusive access to breaking news and exclusive content, post-match press conferences, extended highlights, full match replays, and also we're going to be introducing a fair bit of Hall of Fame content in the lead-up to August 1, which you'll also get access to as well. Next week, it's Beanies for Brain Cancer Round in the NRL. I've spoken to the Mark Hughes Foundation. It's a great cause, but they said if you order online at the moment, you may not get them in time.
Yeah.
But if you head down to all Richie's IGAs in Sydney, in New South Wales and Queensland and other host of stores, you can get them. So head to markhughesfoundation.com.au for more information, or you can grab them at the gate of all round 12 games next year. It's cold. We'll need a beanie on if we're out watching footy this weekend. Next weekend, rather. And remember, subscribe, rate, review. Not only this podcast, but also the podcast with Joel Gould, Steve Renoff, and the NRL fantasy podcast, Chris Kennedy, Dom Brock, Steve Turner. Jamie Soward, I enjoyed that.
It was good.
Gets the juices flowing a couple of weeks out from Origin. we'll have to wait and see how close your team is to Brad Fittler's in a couple of weeks.
Certainly will. Look forward to it.
And let us know your thoughts when we tweet it out and our handle, NRL.com. Jamie Soward, Zach Bailey, thanks for tuning in once again.